Thank you, Father, for all those words through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We'll turn to 1 Samuel. A little trivia while you guys are turning there. There's three Bibles under there. So Donald, we're going to need you to do a lot of reading tonight.
I do that while listening.
Three Bibles on the word?
It's still calling.
We're going to turn to 1 Samuel. Okay, a little trivia. It's okay to be wrong. I guess before I do a little trivia, I want to put a little preface that when I talk about faith and doing great mighty things, almost probably anything I teach, you'd be easily to analyze and say, well, you can't mean this, or you can't go that far, but the idea is, one day we're gonna go before Yehoshua. And if you never even tried, well, I don't want to hurt my faith. I was afraid to try for this big thing because I don't want to go backwards with faith. There can't be truth to that. You hurt somebody's faith, hey, go walk on water, they didn't walk, oh, I feel almost I hate you. Whenever I'm teaching about it, it's going to always be from this preface. Before you go walk on water, analyze the worst case scenario. Are you going to die if you sink in the water, if you can swim? No, Peter would have been fine. If you don't get healed immediately, is that the end of the world? No, we know that Yahweh's done his job. It's up to us. But it's up to our job to say, when did you stop fighting? Did you just give up because you're afraid of failure? Oh, I don't want to try because I might look like a fool. And you're going to know, but you evaluate, what's the worst case scenario? Then when you go to meet Yahweh in Christ, he's going to say, hey Aaron, how about this healing in your life or this big thing in your life? What did you do? And go, man, I did everything I could. I mean, I didn't get it. But it wasn't for a lack of trying, right? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen like a little kid on the football field that's getting beat up, but he never quits?
Yeah.
Is the parent humiliated? Oh, he's like, that's my kid. What's more honorable? A giant picking on people or somebody doing something that comes easy? Or somebody who never quits? Because it's a principle. I don't quit. I don't have a choice whether I win or not. But I do choose whether I quit or not. And then the whole thing comes back down to walking in the Spirit with Yahweh, in peace with Him, in fellowship with Him. And they go back in, you're going to go, well, because a lot of times you're not going to, don't tell people they can walk on water, they can move mountains, because you're going to hurt their faith. There is that one side, you're going to go, what's the worst case scenario? When it comes to faith, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yahweh knows whether we're going to have to raise somebody from among the dead. And Yahweh would like to prepare us for that time we have to pull somebody out of the casket. Mm-hmm. But if we never exercise it because we don't want to get hurt, we don't want failure, well, that's on us. And Yahweh wants to prepare us. And we don't know what we're going to be facing, not to live in fear, but you don't know what you're going to be facing. And Yahweh's not going to scare the heck out of you. Don't tell me the future! I'm never going to go to a funeral ever again. I was afraid of that once. I don't want to be humiliated, but Yahweh's working. He goes, get working. Just get moving. Don't let failure intimidate you. You're going to go, what's the worst case scenario? I never gave up. Man, that's a good start. Is he watching you? Yeah, John Lynn did a teaching on that. He goes, when a baby starts learning to walk and it falls down, the parents, what they do? Oh, you ungrateful little creep! Two steps! Come on! You've been in the womb. What you been doing in the womb the whole time? Or do the parents go, come on, he'll work with you if your heart's right. But don't be a coward and afraid to walk out on water. I hate that word coward. If anything, evaluate the things that are the desires on your heart. And Yahweh is preparing you for the great battles that are coming up. The same way he was preparing David for Goliath with a lion and a bear. And I can imagine that when he went to Shaul, the king, when I was listening to Word of Promise again, I could see it. That's King David right there, by the way. And that's Moses on the wall behind you. I could see King David going to Shaul, and he went to Shaul, and Shaul, or King Saul says, how could you go against this man? And I can imagine him having the claws from the bear around his neck. You see this? I killed a bear. Then he has a lion. Maybe he would have some clothing from the lion he killed. What is Yahweh preparing you guys for? And if we don't rise up to it, it's not the end of the world. It's not that big of a deal. But we only got one shot this life. And who knows? Who knows? It could be you, Donna. That you're going to be the one, the only one that Yahweh has that's going to get the guy at the gate to be beautiful. You're the only one that's going to be listening at this day, at this time. Nobody else is available. Just you. Ah! But what if you're right? What if you're the one that says, silver and gold have I none? But what I do have given you, get up. Can you imagine the joy you'd have for the rest of your life? Yahweh's trying to prepare all of us. You have desires and dreams in your heart. So do I. And my own desires, my mind is so wicked. Do you guys ever had buyer's remorse? As soon as I buy this new shirt, then I'll have everything I need, everything I ever wanted. Once I get this new shirt, or buy a new car. Oh, I'll get a new car, and then I'll feel 6 months later, I'm like, it's just wheels, man, and a big payment. You guys ever done that? That's our old man. Stripping off your old van, or you date somebody. Oh, so if I just dated the right girl, it looked like that, I'll be okay. You know, but the difference between our desires and Yahweh's desires, our desires come and go, and evaluate yourself. How many times have you talked yourself into a bad decision?
Yeah. Many.
Yeah.
I remember I pursued a girl in high school once. I was like, I'm really going to go after it, and I did. Then I was miserable because we had nothing in common. I didn't know how to break up with her. I got what I wanted, though. I'm like, she's a weirdo. Anyways. Back to the desires of our heart, and let's go back to Hannah's prayer. And when you read about Hannah, or Hannah, as Strong's number, H2584, Hannah, it'd be easy to miss something that I think, and a lot of this could be a perspective that I'm going to project, okay? It doesn't specifically say what I'm going to be suggesting, but I think you're going to be able to take something from it. So we're going to need some readers for 1 Samuel. And we're going to read actually the whole first chapter. But it's going to be a distinguishing between Yahweh's desires and your own desires. A lot of times you know it's Yahweh's desire when? When you go to church or fellowship and all of a sudden you get into the music or something. And all of a sudden, he goes, I haven't given up. And you're like, oh, great. Oh, great, here it is again. And he just sits there patiently waiting. If there's desires there again, you go, okay. All of us have one of those desires and we want it to go away, right? A lot of us do. Because without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. And when Yahweh's asking us to do something, a lot of times it's very uncomfortable. We're going to look like a fool. We're going to let people down, right? But let's not speculate whether you're going to succeed or not. Let's just today on this teaching, everybody, please let me invite you, find one of his dreams that are in there. And you don't have to know it's his dream, but what doesn't go away? Right? I guess a neat thing happened before Dad had the things happen to him, that the scary stuff that happened last Sunday. Dad got me to go to this new church, and I went to new church. Something happens with the music. Every once in a while, that could be bad news, but all of a sudden there's a spiritual breakthrough that happens inside me that I don't understand, that I don't get it unless I'm in some sort of music stuff. And here I am, and I raise my hands. I didn't ever want to raise my hand. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. I made fun of people that raised their hands. It was dumb. You want all that attention on you. That's what I did. You know, when I first started going to other churches in the college, and I was like, it's ridiculous. It's all about you. It's all about you. Then I was at a church, then I was at a FCA meeting. And Yahweh said, so it doesn't do anything? I went, no, it's ridiculous. He goes, it doesn't do anything at all. I went, no. I go, then do it. If it doesn't do anything, do it, Aaron. I went, I couldn't believe it. I chickened out. I was like, I sat there and I didn't even get the teaching. But all I did is I'm not moving my arm. He called my bluff. And then I walked out of that FCA meeting at K-State and I went, what just happened? What was that? Have you ever had Yahweh call your bluff?
Yeah.
Then do anything, do it. You teach. I'm not teaching. The next time I went in, I was like, what's going on here, man? It's Civil War. Ah! All of a sudden, I started crying. What happened? I don't know. And so all of this, there's something. He's asking you to do something you don't want to do. And with me at FCA, there was a breakthrough. But anyways, back when I was at the church, I raised my hands again. I'm meditating in the music. I'm losing. I'm disconnecting from all the things around me. Yahweh said, Aaron, don't stop running from me. And I hadn't been running. My hour run and my half hour run. I haven't been doing it. I don't have time. Been coaching soccer 2 days a week, teaching Wednesdays, got these things, and I had no other desire to keep going running. So I was like, well, if y'all is not telling me to do it, must, how convenient. Until he finally got a moment like what I'm hoping all of us are going to have tonight. And he said, why'd you stop running? Well, you haven't said anything about running for 2 months. I shouldn't have to tell you to keep doing what I told you to do. The next day, I ran for an hour. Felt like I was going to die the whole way. You know who he had me pray for? Dad. Had no idea anything was going on in Dad. All I knew is I got my music on, I feel like I'm going to die. Austin see me run. it looked like something's rolling down a mountain. Get away! Something bad's going to happen. And Dad just goes fast. He tells me to go, and his song's dedicated to certain people. And as the song comes on, he tells me who to pray for. But this time, the whole hour, Yahweh's like, Dad this, Dad that, Dad this. I'm like, you sure? Sure it's not Donna or no? Then a week later, we found out that Dad had some scary stuff happen. I went, God, thank you for speaking to me. But it came back to the desire. So why don't you two take turns reading 1 Samuel chapter 1. Page 289.
You beat yourself on the thing, I didn't hear it.
1 Samuel chapter 1.
1 chapter, thank you.
No, okay.
And there was a certain man of Ramathamez.
That's kind of pronounce it.
That of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Ziph, and Ephraimite. And he had two wives, the name of one Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Now Peninnah had children, but Hannah had children. So then that man went up out of his city from time to time to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And there were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto Yahweh. And when the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he used to give to Peninnah his wife, to all her sons and her daughters portions.
Can we pause there just for a second? So here's just a little bit on the name so that we can be kind of improving. It's okay if you don't repeat it. It's Peninnah. That's Strong's number H6444. So blue letter Bible, we'll show you how to pronounce it. So it's Peninnah. Her husband is Elkanah. Strong's number H0511. Elkanah. And Eli is Ali. Telling you, Muhammad Ali, and that is Strong's number H5941. Okay, and then we get the Hophni Phinehas. We're not even close. Actually, I heard of you. Really? When did you hear it? You can imagine. I think about that at the resurrection. They're going to be giving applause to certain people. They're like, who's that? I've never heard of any of these people. Who are these guys? Who's Elkanah? Okay, he sees our heart. Sorry, I just lost my page.
289.
Okay, go ahead. And it's Peninnah. Go ahead, keep reading.
And unto Hannah he used to give one portion, howbeit Hannah he loved, although Yahweh had restrained her from having children.
Pause there for just a second. This is not a regular writer. Yahweh's word has a purpose for everything. Hannah he loved. Hold the brakes. Who does that sound like?
Joseph.
It sounds like Rachel.
Right.
It sounds like Yisrael. You know, I mean, if I didn't have somebody kind of helping me out there, the first time you hear that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, you're like, wow, that's how unjust, what a wicked guy. But you find out that it was through that love. If he didn't love Rachel, he would have never married Leah. And Jesus Christ came from Leah, tribe of Judah. Huh, pretty important to marry Leah, right? Mm-hmm. Then also, without Rachel, Joseph wouldn't have been born. And what did Joseph end up saving? All of Israel and Judah, Jesus Christ's grandfather. And so it saved all Egypt and Canaan. So what do we know about this story? There was a desire inside Jacob or Israel that could not be explained. He had a strong desire with his one son. And it wasn't just, and it said because he had his love for Rachel. Genesis 29:20 says he served 7 years for her, and those years became as the days. Why did Yahweh put that in there? It's because it was Yahweh's desire that wouldn't go away. There was just something he had to have. And then it also, in that same adoration went back down to Benjamin and Joseph. What's going on here? Millions of people were saved because of that desire. What's happening here? Elkanah loved Hannah more. And you're going to see he's going to give her something, right? And so he loved her more. Okay, last time we read this in Genesis, what happened? Oh, Joseph saved everybody, including Jesus Christ's grandfather. Pretty important about that love there, huh? Okay. Okay. I think I stopped you after Hannah he loved, although Yahweh, if you read
yeah, start had, there. Had her saved her from having children.
Yes. So she couldn't have children. Okay, keep reading.
And her rival used to even cause her great vexation for the sake of provoking her, because Yahweh had restrained her from having children. And thus she used to do year by year whenever she went up to the house of Yahweh. Thus she vexed her, and she wept and would not eat. So Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Hannah, wherefore shouldest thou weep? And wherefore wilt thou not eat? And wherefore should thy heart be sad? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And Hannah rose up after she had...
She's laughing because of the teaching we heard.
The teaching.
Yeah, it was a really funny teaching, God. The teacher was talking about sometimes dudes just miss it, guys miss it. We say the wrong things. Like, the teacher was like, here's some things dudes, you don't say. You might think it, but you never say it to your wife. Because like, did you mean to do that to your hair? Yeah, don't say that. Yeah, he's going in. He also went, a lot of guys, look, he's got two wives. You weren't there for that one. Got two wives. Hey, that's a good deal. He goes, anybody who thinks it's great to have two wives isn't married. One is enough. That's why Melania's laughing. But what does he see? She can't have children. And he's going, look, obviously he's really blessing her, right? Elkanah, what can he do? He's blessing her. He's doing all he can. He's a great guy as far as we know. He's probably giving her more and more. He's compensating. He can't have kids. We're going to go on cruises or whatever. And that's neat, right? But we're, from my perspective after this, I think he was missing something, which is easy for any of us to miss it. Keep reading.
And Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh and after she had drunk, and Eli the priest was sitting upon his chair by the doorpost of the temple of Yahweh. And she, being in bitterness of soul, prayed unto Yahweh and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the humiliation of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. So it was that she continued praying before Yahweh that Eli was watching her mouth.
Okay, let me pause there for just a second. So Hannah has a desire to have a child. And even the teaching that we heard, at least from what I took in the last teaching, she just wants a kid. There's reasons you want kids. Her rival has all kinds of kids. She can't have kids. You want a kid, right? Now, I want to say that's not what's going on here. And we're going to find out later on. It's not just about having kids. Something else is going on. Because Elkanah is going, look, you can't have kids, but what's the big deal? Come on, stop thinking about it, right? You guys ever had something you try to get rid of? I don't want to bring it up again. Me going to Africa, you want to know sometimes? You want to know if it's Yahweh talking to you? You know, when my dad says, if anybody should go to Africa, it should be you. I went, oh! I'm like throwing a drink in his face, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't tell Izzy to go. Don't tell me to go. But for some reason, when my dad said that out of nowhere at lunch, it stuck right there on him. I don't like eating other people's casseroles. How am I going to go to Africa? I can't sleep in the bed without a fan and Benadryl. How am I going to... But I couldn't get away from it. I ran away. I couldn't get away until I couldn't pay my bills. I got down on my knees. Help me pay my bills. Go to Africa. Oh, I'll die in Africa broke without a house. Well, fine, I'll go. Then I went to Africa, and that was one of the biggest... It wasn't my desire. One of some of the proudest things in my life now, some of the things that happened to me when I went to Africa. I've been there 5 times. I'm hoping to go back. It wasn't my desire. So now you see me going to Africa, instead of going, Aaron's all about going to Africa. Africa this, Africa that. Let that be a testimony to you that Yahweh's trying to get you to do something. and you're going to be more blessed with it than anything you could ever imagine. Because he will reward you. Well, then why doesn't he tell me that ahead of time? Because without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. You have to take a risk. This whole life that you have is about you taking a risk and growing up.
Yeah.
I'm happy right where I am. Tell Moses that. He was 80 years old. Oh, great. Back up the mountain again. Here goes the 80-year-old. Here I go. Oy vey. If I break my neck, who's going to take care of Aaron? You're trying to kill me, aren't you? You're always like, come on. Anyways, okay, start pick up where I left off, or you left off.
12, verse 13. But as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart; only her lips were moving. Eli thought she had been drunken, and Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah responded and said, "Nay, my lord. A woman depressed in spirit am I, neither wine nor strong drink have I drunk. But I have poured out my soul before Yahweh. Do not count thy handmaid for an abandoned woman, for out of abundance my grief and my vexation have I spoken hitherto."
Can you pause there for just a second? Remind me, start back up in verse 17. Hannah's a wonderful woman. She's at a pit. A woman depressed in spirit, she's humiliated. And somebody keeps stirring up a dream inside her about having a kid. It's not working. You ever felt like that? Yahweh keeps calling you to do something, or you don't know it's Yahweh. You just go, ah! That's why I think a lot of Christians will turn complete alcohol or drugs, because they got to drown out that voice. They got to go so dark into it because they got to get away from him because they're getting harassed. But in her case, she's depressed in spirit. She's being humiliated. Her husband's trying to console her, but he can't because his dream, this thing doesn't go away. And do you know who this is like? Your mom. Mm-hmm. Your mom had to have a kid. She couldn't get away from it. Here she is, going to have a kid. And where is this desire coming from? Well, do you really want a kid? But the desire would not go away, would not go away, would not go away. And you know what happened? When she'd come to Bible study and fellowship, she'd start weeping. Get rid of this thing? Where is this dream coming for an impossible thing to happen? I'm being humiliated. I'm broken down. Right? Your mom was down there, down in a pit. Who's sitting here now? Yeah. She didn't give up. And so, here's Hannah in the pit. And here's, I forgot how you say, Ali, listening to her. Verse 17. Mom, why don't you start reading?
Then responded Ali and said, "Go and prosper. And the Elohim of Israel grant thy petition which thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thy serving woman find favor in thine eyes." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no longer. And they rose up early in the morning and before Yahweh and returned and entered their own house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. And so it was, when the days had come round during which Hannah was with child, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel.
And Samuel is Shem, like it's going to be like Noah's son Shem, S-H-E-M, Shem-U-L. So Strong's number H-8050. So Shem-U-L. Okay. Because of Yahweh, I asked him. Okay, in verse 21.
Heard of God, because of Yahweh, I asked him, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Yahweh the yearly sacrifice.
You know, I was thinking right here. First of all, she had to have sex with her husband. Right? Mm-hmm. How many times? Don't know. How many miscarriages possibly? Do you think she would have been fearful of miscarriages? Getting my feelings hurt? Afraid to take messages? Not messages, take risks? I can imagine somebody in this case that doesn't go away having one, two miscarriages. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to walk away from it. I can understand that. Right? Mm-hmm. I got to go. And that's not what it says here. But I can imagine somebody going, "I can't handle this anymore." But the neat thing is that Yahweh doesn't give up. I mean, he can. Sometimes the desire is going to go away. He's going to pick somebody else. And hopefully that's not the case. But in this case, they had to have sex, and they had a son. Okay, go ahead.
And the man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer unto Yahweh the yearly sacrifice, and each his own vow. But Hannah went up, for she said to her husband, "Not till the boy is weaned, then will I take him, and he shall appear before Yahweh and abide there evermore." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what is good in thine own eyes. Tarry until thou have weaned him."
Right here, I want to point something out that's really neat, okay? Because is this just about Hannah having a child? Is it about her rivalry with this, her rival? I want to have a kid too. I want to have my own thing. Is it? We're going to find out. But here's a neat thing about Elkanah, what he's going to say next. Because she said in her heart that this son will be a Nazarite. He's going to have long dreadlocks like John the Baptist, like Samson.
Samson, yeah.
Right? And when she got pregnant, I would assume that she would have told her husband, "I made a covenant with Yahweh." And what does he say next after he tells her? That's fine. Don't bring the baby up here now. But he goes, "Only may Yahweh establish his word." Okay? Sometimes Yahweh's going to give us something. You're going to go, but don't renege on. And it could have been he's going, you do what Yahweh tells you to do. So the woman tarried and nursed her son. So John Shanahai did a teaching going, look, an infant's not going to do anybody any good in the tabernacle of Yahweh. Maybe a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, go pick this up, get water, sweep, get to moving. And so she's weaning him, possibly for that. But it's neat, cause in that case, if you read that, it would appear that Elkanah's going, that's fine, but it's going to be really convenient. And the longer you have this kid in your house, the harder it's going to be getting rid of it. And that's my own opinion. Okay.
Then took she him up with her when she had weaned him, with a bullock of 3 years old and one ephah of meal and a skin of wine, and took him to the house of Yahweh at Shiloh, the boy yet being young. So they slew the bullock and took the boy in unto Eli, and she said, "Pardon, my lord, by the life of thy soul, my lord, I am the woman who is standing near thee here, praying unto Yahweh. For this boy I prayed, and Yahweh hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Hence I also have loaned him unto Yahweh all the days that he liveth. He is lent unto Yahweh." And he bowed down there unto Yahweh.
And he bowed down there to Yahweh, and where if I was going to happen next. And anything would happen to your mom that we got to be a part of, is we'd be at fellowship, and we'd be doing prayer. Does anybody need anything? And then your mom... the best sense of humor. If it was funny, she's going to laugh. Even if it's on her device, she's just start like, "That's funny." But she was also she was humble enough to say, "This is what I need." Sometimes somebody's not going to talk about something, you start crying. I'm not going that way. I'll start talking. But your mom would. There's a desire to have a kid. And there's one time I did a teaching, and she started crying, and everybody knew what she's crying about. She wants to have a kid. And at least going into it, we didn't know about you. Anybody know about her?
Nope.
No, the new prodigy, the future of Telios, a teacher of teachers, an artist of artists. I mean, seriously, we didn't know about you. All we knew is the same old, same old. Here's Dina crying, and I'm sitting in front of the and it was a righteous thing. This isn't about somebody. I haven't won the lottery or I keep going into debt. I'm bankrupt again. No, they shed a desire, and I was sitting in front of the TV as I'm sitting there praying. Yahweh stirred up a righteous thing inside me. And what was communicated to me was, somebody do something. And my dad's called me a coward a couple different times. I'm like, "Don't like that word. You want to be called a coward? Don't be a coward, right?" So I got up reluctantly. She's sitting in the recliner, and I spoke the words that came right out of my mouth. I took a risk. I said, "You're gonna have a child. You will have a child." The words came out, flew out like this, and then your mom immediately stopped crying, and she smiled. Something happened. I could have been wrong, right? I could have set her up for failure. I can't take any credit for it. I just, when Yahweh called me a coward, I'm not going to be a coward. I'm going to say, what's the worst case scenario? It's not going to work. Can she handle it? Yeah. Okay. With believers. And something changed that day. Something changed. We don't know what it was. I think your mom's faith was all the way peaking. she was ripe. Right. And you know, Jesus Christ would do teachings every, or sometimes he would just heal people. I didn't have a revelation for that. But I think your mom's faith was right to where it needed to be. The Yahweh goes, she's ripe. She's ready. This is it. Somebody just go tink. Boom. We have Melania, the little baby about this big. Goes, yeah. And so this is just like a Samuel. Because what happened after Dina had Melania? I got to have more kids. No? No, I don't want any more kids. She was done. Now, if this child, Shemuel, was, if this was about Hannah's rivalry, and she's, all she wanted was to have a kid. All she needed is, look, I'm being humiliated because my ovaries don't work. Is that what this is about?
No.
Well, maybe. It could be. We're going to read Hannah's prayer next. She finally weaned the miracle child up. So now it's weaned. Now she's going to give it. She gave him a little ephod. She brought him to the priest. Ali, this is the miracle child. How would you feel? Turn around and walking off. I hope he doesn't die. I hope Ali knows how to do Heimlich. This kid, whatever, I don't know. Yeah. That's what I would have thought until you read this. So Mom, why don't you read Hannah's prayer? That's chapter 2.
Then prayed Hannah.
And you're going to see, now try to imagine what's going on in Hannah. She prays this.
Then prayed Hannah and said, my heart hath leapt for joy in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is open wide over my foes because I rejoice in thy salvation.
We'll pause there for a second, then we'll keep reading. What in the world just happened? You know what that is? That's the satisfaction we get when we satisfy Yahweh's desires.
Yeah.
Because when we follow through with his desires and we do it, there's no explanation what just happened. I'm elated. I feel fantastic. I feel incredible. And Yahweh's going, man, you had no idea. You did it. Mission accomplished. This is just the beginning. Can you imagine leaving a baby on a doorstep, walking off? Oh, it'd be horrible. This isn't Hannah. And this is why I think the desire for Shemuel was not Hannah's. It was Yahweh's desire. And, but if you fulfill your calling or Yahweh's desires, you will get to have the prayer just like Hannah. So go ahead, Mom. Verse 2.
There is none holy like Yahweh. Nay, there is none except thee. Nor is there a rock like our Elohim. Do not multiply words so loftily, nor let arrogance proceed from your mouth. For an Elohim of knowledge is Yahweh, and for himself are great doings made firm. The bow of the mighty is dismayed, while the fainting are girded with strength. The sated have for bread taken higher, but the famished have left off their toil, so that the barren hath given birth unto seven. While she that
hath... You think that was easy for her to come out of her mouth?
Nope.
Seven? She's had one. But the barren had given birth to seven. What's happening? She's bubbling. She's overflowing. This is playthrowing. Yeah. And guess who's recording every one of these words? Oh, Yahweh got it all. Now keep going. She's not done.
While she that hath many sons languisheth, Yahweh doth kill and make alive, take down to Hades and bring it up. Yahweh maketh poor and enricheth, layeth low, yea, exalteth. Raiseth from the dust the poor, from the dunghill uplifteth the needy, to give them a dwelling with nobles, and a throne of glory to make them inherit. For to Yahweh belong the pillars of the earth.
And that name, the pillars of the earth, okay?
And he setteth thereon the habitable world. The feet of his loving ones he doth guard. But the lawless in darkness shall be silent. For by strength shall no man prevail. As for Yahweh, they shall be shattered who contend with him. Over him in the heavens will be thunder. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth, that he may give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed one.
When she walked away from fulfilling her covenant, which was Yahweh's desire here, what happened? There were thunderings and earthquakes in the spiritual realm. things busting and bursting. What's in the world's going on? Look at these words are coming out of her mouth. What in the world's going on here? And then we're going to show you why all that was happening. What were the angels doing? She did it. She did it. We're going to keep your finger here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, page 161 in the Greek manuscripts. So how, and you look at that and go, what kind of woman, what kind of a moment? You could do a whole movie on this. How would you like to walk away from Yahweh's, not walk away from Yahweh's promise, but to deliver like that and then walk away and catch on fire like that in such a way Yahweh records a whole chapter?
Yeah.
You want to get, how would you like that? Do you think she was elated? Do you think she was glowing like Moses coming down the mountain? I bet everybody came next to her and went, holy moly, you look good. You look really good. And I think one of the other things that happened is that's when she got healed. I think her whole body got healed too. Some things, everything changed. But from a spiritual world, what just happened? We don't know, we don't know, we don't know. We'll come back to that. But now we're going to talk about what is Yahweh's desire in you. You don't want to give up on it. You don't want to get set up for failure, right? And we talked about that. What's the worst case scenario? Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not configuring yourselves. Well, I guess we'll start with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh acceptable. Don't fill your brain full of garbage and garbage all day long. TV, garbage, 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 garbage. A living sacrifice isn't going to be watching fake news and sitcoms and reality TV and garbage, garbage, garbage. Right? If you walked into a church and all it was Jerry Springer and stuff, you'd be like, what in the world?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a temple. Yahweh goes, don't present your body as a living, holy sacrifice. Acceptable your rational, divine services. Now, the next part's an important one. And be not configuring yourselves unto this age. What could that be? It's whatever your flesh was chasing. Grandkids, kids, boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses, jobs, debt removal, credit score, whatever it is.
Yourself.
But yeah, very good. But be transforming yourself. That's a really good one. Can I ask you the next one? Because we do have an enemy. And it never goes away. It's our flesh. It's the same one that goes, it's that buyer's remorse. And as soon as you get this, the same enemy will tell me to say something funny to insult somebody, then I lose a really good friend, and then I'm haunted later on going, what'd you do, right? Mm-hmm. But be transforming yourselves by the renewing of your mind, holy sacrifice, who are you? Who lives inside of you? Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. Okay, Christ is inside you. Don't watch that garbage. You're forcing him to watch it. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I sit in places where they had fake news on CNN. I'm sitting at the doctor's office going, will you guys change this? We can't. The doctor said we can't. I got to sit here and listen to this crap. I'm changing doctors. How many times are we doing that to Jesus Christ? He's sitting there with us. Watching that, or in my case, watching this, he's going, I can't take it anymore, Aaron, quit looking at garbage. But why should we be transforming ourselves? Transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Why? To the end you may be proving what is the
thing willed by Yahweh.
What is Yahweh's will? The whole purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is he died for us so that we would live for him. 2 Corinthians 5:14. What's the purpose of your whole life? Is to fulfill Yahweh. And then in this life, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. Should I reprove somebody? Should I not reprove somebody? Should I keep my mouth shut? Should I write a letter? Should I not write a letter? Should I mind my own business? I don't know what to do. I'll go nuts. What's Yahweh's will? And another thing about Dr. Werewolf, the word of Yahweh is the will of Yahweh. Okay, that's very good. If you're not in the word, it'd be hard to know it. But what if I am in it? Separate yourself. Separate yourself so you can know the will of Yahweh. And Hannah, I believe, was hearing the will of Yahweh. And Yahweh's going, I need a kid. You're it, Hannah. Oh my, that again. I'll do anything for you, Yahweh. That? Can I just go do this? I need a kid. And each one of us, he's asking us to do something like that. What is the thing will of Yahweh? Philippians 4:22. It says, strip off your old man. Kill them. You wake up in the morning. Don't feed them. You feed your old man's like putting stuff in the fire. Oh, put that fire out. How are you going to do it? I'm going to throw some more wood in there. It didn't go out that way. When you feed your old man, you happen to that fire, he gets hungrier. Oh, he'll lie to you. Oh, I'll never say anything anymore. Give him some more of that garbage. You know, kill your old man. Strip it off. And then you know what Yahweh's will is. Let's see here. Philippians 2:13. 202. When we are in, when we are separating ourselves, and what happened with me at that church, had my dad not introduced me and invited me to go, I had a million reasons not to go, I had a million excuses not to go, I wouldn't have got that, Yahweh wouldn't have said, why aren't you running from me? You're kidding me. I'm not fornicating. I'm not drinking in excess. I'm not looking at pornography. I'm not extorting. I'm not stealing. Why are you running from me, Aaron? I didn't know. I was really missing something, right? And so that, but in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is Yahweh who energized within you both the desiring and the energizing, and half his good pleasure." What is he desiring inside you? What is he energizing? Let's go back to 1 Samuel. How long was Samson a judge?
I don't know.
6 years.
Anybody else? Cameraman, how many years was Samson a judge?
I don't recall.
20. Okay. So somebody was mocking him for his what, Delilah, and they go, he judged 20 years. How many years have you judged, Aaron? Yeah. I never judged once. How many years did Moses rule over Israel or judge for Yahweh?
40 years,
okay. How long was King David king? 40 years. How about Shaul, King Saul? 40 years. That's kind of Moses, King David, right? Samson got 20. So David beat Samson, right? But who's counting? Yahweh's counting. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Who's keeping score, right? Well, when Yahweh puts a number down there, he's keeping score. Page 295. Oh, my bookmarks are messing me up. 7 verse 15. Melania, would you read that?
And Shamuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he used...
Whoa. 20 years?
No.
Jephthah, got 6 or 7 years. How many years?
All the days of his life. How old was he?
I don't necessarily know. His whole life. Go back. His whole life. Turn to chapter 2, verse 21. So up until this point, what I've been hoping to do is focus your guys' attention on one perspective. And now I'm going to try to show you the other perspective. Verse 21. Would somebody read that?
And Yahweh visited Hannah, and she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters.
Pause there. Just thank you. She got her kids. She got 3 sons, 2 daughters. But the most important part's the next part. Now read this next one.
Thus did the boy Samuel grow up with Yahweh.
How beautiful. Who's the boy who grew up with Yahweh? Samuel. The boy who grew up with Yahweh.
Probably from the time he was 4.
Man! 4, 5, 6 years old. He served all the days of his life. You guys see? Because with Hannah, it looked like she was being humiliated. It looked like something was missing. It looked like she was being harassed. You ever had somebody to ask you to give something you couldn't give? I've had that in relationships. I'm like, ain't happening, man. But when Yahweh's doing, what in the world's going on here? See, Hannah had a stirring. And she couldn't get away from it. What did Yahweh need? Because when you find out, when Hannah had this stirring, this is going to be a loaded question. Do we know that Hophni and Phinehas had turned wicked yet?
Don't know.
Nope. We do know that Ali or Eli had two sons who were priests. Who was the judge of Israel at this time? Eli. Was he grooming up some people to be judges? It would appear so. Well, we don't know until the next couple of chapters that Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are wicked. So at least from that timeline, we don't know that they're even wicked. What did Yahweh need? He needed the next judge. I gotta have a judge. Somebody's gotta raise up Israel. What happens when Israel doesn't have judges? Horrible things happen. Eli's gonna die, or his sons. Eli's gonna love his sons more than Yahweh. What's Yahweh gonna do? I gotta have a plan. And what was it?
Samuel.
Can you imagine going to Hannah? Hannah, no pressure. But if you don't have this kid, there's going to be no judges. Everybody's going to die. No pressure, though, right? So go ahead and feel sorry for yourself, Hannah. No, you didn't tell her that. But you go, man, what did Yahweh need? He needed a kid. The kid was raised with Yahweh. The boy knew Yahweh. And I wonder how many children or seeds are already inside you and me right now. And we look at it, oh, we could fail. Yeah, we could fail. And it could hurt our faith. No, we're not going to let it hurt our faith. You know why? Because we're going to look at the worst case scenario. Can you handle that loss? We do that in sports. You know, with coaches, they go, is it likely we're going to win this game? No. No, it's not likely we're going to win. But if they have a mediocre game, we get two or three turnovers, and we have our best game, we're going to beat those guys, and they're going to fall, and we'll be heroes. Okay? Not very likely. Or we go out there, we give all we have, we beat the snot out of them. They still beat us, but they respect the heck out of us. What do you say, guy, who go out there, we can handle it? Can you handle it? Yeah. And you know what? Every once in a while, we'd win. It'd be glorious. You're always doing the same thing. Can you handle failure? Yeah. You can handle it. It's not the end of the world. Now, obviously, you're going to have to, some of this stuff. I mean, if you're always telling you to pull somebody out of a casket, you better get some confirmation with that. But for the other things, go, what do you got to lose? And you might be looking at something that's stirring inside you going, Aaron, I'm really feeling pressure here. And so did Hannah. And look what she got. She almost got a whole chapter of her rejoicing. Mission accomplished. Sir. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your dreams. We thank you for all that you've stirred up inside of us. We thank you that you continue to stir up your dreams inside of us. We thank you for putting people in our lives to help us sharpen ourselves, to prepare ourselves for the Goliaths in this world. We thank you for speaking to us through the Ruach Kodesh, the Spirit inside us, and your word. We thank you for helping us strip off our old man to not be conformed to this age so we can hear you. Not fake news, not Facebook, not garbage. So we can say, speak, your servant is listening. And we thank you for these words. My children, my plans are perfect. And they're better than anything you could ever imagine. And if you would imagine your life as an adventure story like the book The Hobbit or one of these things, you will remove a lot of unnecessary burden and baggage that you have that you don't need to be bringing. I can see you. I've called many of you on quests. But you're not trusting me. My son told his disciples to take only one tunic. And I see many people carrying bags and all kinds of things and they can't keep up and they're stressing out. Don't worry about those things. Come with me and I'll meet your needs. Amen.
Oh, thank you.